Hey, everybody. What's your name of your band? John Mayer's Fun. John Mayer's Fun. Give it up for John Mayer's Fun, everybody. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. Welcome to you, me, them, everybody. You are witnessing a talk show. I don't know if you knew that. So it's nice seeing everybody. It's so weird to be here. We had the last 2 weeks off. This is the longest break we've had in a very long time. And I've been doing things I don't want to do. So being here... No, don't go, oh, I'm just dumb. We all work, right? I mean, come on, we're in a dive bar. I mean, come on, it is a dive bar. It's a good thing it's a dive bar. What I'm saying is you're not in an awful place. It's just, for a lot of people, it sounds like an awful place because you're not... You're probably not Republican. I know, like, we're in a highly politicized time, but I get it. But, like... This isn't like there's never going to be a Republican fundraiser here unless it's for super ironic reasons. But that's okay. And I realized earlier this week that like there's nothing wrong with being a Democrat or a Republican. All young Republicans are just very confident young people, something that I've never been nor can ever be. I'm too old. I've reached a point. I forgot to turn the light on. Give me a second. How you doing, Jen?
I'm good.
Thanks, buddy. Jen's going to co-host the show. She doesn't have to stand. Hey, buddy, there you go. This is how insecure I am. This is a podcast, right? This is a talk show. Yeah, you're here. You see this. Most of the people will hear this as a podcast. They can't hear the light. I bring my light with me. That's how insecure I am. That's how you know I'm not a Republican. Anyways, that's not what I wanted to talk about at all. I'm unprepared to be here because we're doing a game show tomorrow night. We're doing a game show, and I don't even like game shows. I don't know why we're doing this. It could be awful. It could be great. It's probably going to be good. I'd say it's probably going to be a 7 out of a possible 10. Here's how I know it's going to be okay/good. I got a lot of prizes lined up. Therefore, you can't hate me if I give you a $50 gift certificate to something. I'm like a dealer in very odd circumstances. Like, I know if there's an apocalypse. I've been watching way too much Walking Dead. I watched all season 2 in 4 days, and just all I did was run and listen to Slayer in the Woods. So, like, that's where my mind is right now. And then I followed it up with Red State, which is a Kevin Smith film, which isn't bad. I guarantee you, it's a Kevin Smith film, it's dick. No, it's not all dicks. It's not. I promise you that. Now I'm watching Dexter, and I'm fucking loving it. So that's where my head is at. That's how I prepare for a game show. I just binge watch TV. I steal it all. I don't have cable. Why would you have cable? What's wrong with you people? I'm not saying you have cable. There's something wrong with you. I've already walked one person. It's a great start. Anyways. The game show is supposed to be like this version of poker, right? It's this trivia version of poker. Jen, are you with me?
I'm glad you're explaining this because I'm participating in it.
You're participating tomorrow.
So now
night.
I know what I have to do.
This was the original thought of the show. I'll give you a fact about something, and then you have to expound on the fact. After I give you that fact, you get to raise, call, or fold. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Really? Because that doesn't make sense to me.
No, I'm bad at poker.
No,
this
we
is
scrapped
terrible.
All of that. You don't have to have any knowledge to participate in the game show tomorrow.
And that's
night.
Why you asked me.
That's exactly why I asked you. You're just a nice, funny lady, so I need you around me rather than me watching serial killer dramas binging in that. How are you doing, table? Good, good, good. We're doing crowd work for no reason. I needed to get the chair back. Yeah, man, my head's been all over the place, and I've I'm excited for all the things that we're doing, but like, this is what I want to be doing. It doesn't sound like it or look like it, but this is exactly what I want to be doing. I feel extremely comfortable up here. That's not right. I should feel comfortable like at home or asleep. No, I'm fucking nuts. It's not going well. I love being here with you people. Like, I haven't wanted to be with people judging me like I feel right now. Like, this is the most satisfying thing in the world to me. Which means, like, the sex life's totally fucked up if, like, this is the most satisfying thing in the world. But it is, and I'm so happy to see you, and I'm, like, trying to be, like, all negative and hatey and all bullshit, like, oh, I'll make dick jokes. But I can't. I'm just so happy to be here. And I realized, like, something that I started doing as a joke is changing my life in a very odd way. I'm trying to be nicer, like... come on. Who wants to date the angry 29-year-old white guy? No one. There's enough of them. It's called the internet. Like, that's all Facebook is. You're the rare exception.
If you're in a band.
Yeah, but you need to have equipment. You need to have a van to lug drums places. I don't have these things. I just have my voice. Speaking of my voice, bullshit transition. I've been altering the way I talk to people as a joke, and now it's just becoming the way I talk. Adam. Good friend of mine. I call him the future of comedy. What I really meant to say is he's the alternative queen of comedy of Washington, D.C., Adam Friedland. He's a great friend of mine. I talked to Adam. I'm like, hey, Adam, did you do that thing I ask you to do? He's like, no, I'll do it right now. And I go, thanks, man. That's my voice now. I'm like, thanks. This is how I talk. Yay. That's like what I'm on. This is how I talk now. And I'm okay with that. So we're kind of growing. Or not. The opposite. What I really want to say is thank you for being here. I love each and every one of you. As much as, like, yeah, it is an oh my God moment. I'm freaking out right now. But I'm, like, really happy freaking out. I've never done this before. This is the first time I freaked out on stage, and nothing is broken intentionally. It's very, very odd. I've gone through 4 guitars in a year, and they were all Squire bullets because they cost $100. I would just break them because, and I would tell people to come to those shows and be proud of them. Only 8 years later do I realize I owe apologies. Like, there needs to be, like, a band AA where you just consistently apologize to everyone that has ever seen you play. But instead, I decided to do a talk show and give away prizes and shit like that and do it in the Wonderland Ballroom. And I'm just so happy to be here. There's nothing funny about this. This is just me, like, hey. But I'm happy. And that's why I have an actual funny person as a co-host tonight. Jen's the co-host tonight. John Mayer's Fun is here. So John Mayer's Fun, will you play some drums for about 2 seconds while I move to the desk? Thank you, John Mayer's Fun. Jen, how are you?
Brandon, I'm so glad you asked when I asked you to ask that earlier.
Smooth.
I got a DUI this week.
Are you serious? Oh, no!
But I'm drinking a beer right now.
Did you drive here?
Yes, I did.
Awesome! You don't live close by,
do you? I don't live close by.
Yeah, this is awesome.
And can I tell you that the officer who arrested me was named Moriarty? I was like, God, I wish I knew more Sherlock Holmes references right now.
My God.
He was tired of that joke, I think. He was like, I've heard it all.
When did you get the DUI? You said this week.
Wednesday. But can I... It's not that bad, you guys. They're like, maybe you should check into rehab. Now I'm doing your voice. Maybe you should. and also Officer Dietz, who didn't appreciate any of my Beetlejuice jokes. I was like Lydia Dietz? And he was like, I've never seen that movie. I have a penis. Which was questionable, if you ask me.
I just don't think there are a lot of Tim Burton fans that are cops.
Well, there is one now.
Okay, obviously I know how
it's
you
not
got the DUI.
The story, the only part that I like about this, other than the fact that I didn't cry for once, was I have baby wrists. You all can see that I have freakishly small wrists. I wasn't that drunk, but I was just drunk enough to wiggle out of my handcuffs to try to use my phone. Why was I? He was like, did you just get out of your cuffs? And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy, officer. My hand was out of the cuffs when I said that. I shoved it. I know you guys are thinking, she's not dateable. Patently untrue. It's clear I make bad decisions, so it's clear that I'm totally dateable.
I think, if anything, that sounds like you're more than dateable. You obviously need a ride places now. You obviously are
you
cool.
You need a ride on your face. What? Anyway.
See, it's so weird. Like, I didn't make that joke. I did that. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so glad you're
it's okay.
here.
It's, you don't have to be like, she'll make this Letty joke. I'll just wait.
I'll just wait. I don't think I make poop jokes.
No. Please. I could do an hour on feces alone. Fecal matters. Thanks.
That was one of Nirvana's. Wait. We talked about Nirvana last time you were on the show.
We did.
That's one of Nirvana's original names, Fecal Matters.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter now.
Because he killed himself.
He's dead.
Yeah, he killed himself.
But Dave Grohl, that was the best career move ever. Dave Grohl was like, yes! Right? Look at his career. Anyway, that's really...
Dave Grohl got a DUI in a scooter in Australia.
I bet he was able to afford a lawyer.
In 2000, they were playing the Big Day Out Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a Motorhead shirt on at the time. These are facts.
Irony.
Why is it irony?
Because it's motor and motoring, and I don't know. That was a stretch, wasn't it?
That was a big stretch.
And he has a head. Stop it, Tisdale.
Your name is Jen Tisdale. That's why you said that.
Yeah, that's why I'm third-personing it up right
now. I've been watching so many Mr. Rogers clips this week to prepare for, like, the game show and stuff.
Yeah.
And whenever I do anything new, I only watch Mr. Rogers, Bozo, and Johnny Cash clips. I've learned, because they all make me happy.
Is it true that he was a sniper?
No!
Oh,
no!
Urban legends.
All those are, you know, Mr. Rogers has zero scandal in his entire life. He's the best man ever, and I aspire to be like him.
You can have a friendship made entirely of puppets.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
That's actually a great segue to bring up our first guest of the evening. She's a former puppeteer. I don't know if she still is a puppeteer. We'll find out. She's the... What? She's the head of the Capital Fringe Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready, John Mayer's fun? Yeah. Fantastic. Please welcome Julianne Rienza, everybody. Julianne! Thank you, Julianne. See, Julianne, you're from, like, the theater world, right?
Yep.
So you're not used to, like, a guy playing two drums directly behind you at any time in your life. Yeah.
My sister actually played the drums growing up.
Really?
Yeah. She was in the, you know, the high school band or whatever.
Were you in the high school band?
No.
Why not?
I was in the junior high band.
What did you play?
I played the flute.
Jen, go ahead.
The skin flute.
There it is. Okay. Julianne, you are from the theater world.
Yeah.
You were an actress. I don't know how to phrase the question here.
Are you asking me a question?
I'm asking the question.
I went to school. I mean, I was in my first play when I was three. I was
what
Annie.
Play?
Annie, Get Your Gun. I was Annie.
You were the gun.
I was Annie, Get Your Gun's little sister.
Aww.
So I was like, you know, a child on stage standing there that stood there. But then I did theater all through that whole time. And then I went to school for theater. And I got a degree in theater performance.
And you started in Philly? Well, you started in Montana. You're from Montana.
I'm from Montana. And I went to college in Wisconsin. And then I lived in Chicago.
Yeah,
and
I'm
then I
from
lived
there.
In Iowa for 8 months.
Not a fan of Iowa.
You know, they have more pigs than people.
So?
Well, that means that they have a lot of pig shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really windy there. I don't know if anyone here is from Iowa. I really, wonderful place.
It's flat lands with a lot
of
wind.
But it's a lot
of
wind and a lot of pig shit, and it smells like shit a lot.
Okay. So you're ready for New York. Because it smells like pig shit in New York.
Yeah, so then I...
And you're from the theater world.
Yeah.
What? Why is that funny? That shit, it makes sense to me. There's a lot of theater there, and there's a lot of pig shit there.
So yeah, then I moved to Philadelphia.
And that's where you got involved with Capital, or with Fringe Festival.
So when I lived in Philadelphia, I was an Arden professional apprentice, which means that I worked at the Arden Theater Company, and I did a program that's 9 months, and you work in every area of the theater, and it's like 80-hour weeks, and you get like $375 a week. It's big times, big times.
You know, I freelance right now. I'm jealous of $375 a week.
And I mean, I have to admit, I have a picture of my first check, because I was super excited.
Good for you. It's good to take photos of checks.
Yeah, you know, whatever. So I through that, we all had to go and, like, work for the Philly Fringe. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of my first experience at a Fringe festival. And it was really how I learned about the theater community in Philadelphia. And it was also just, like, a really fun place to hang out and meet people easily and stuff like that.
And then you moved to D.C.
Yeah. So then I moved to D.C.
Are you happy to be here?
I am so happy.
Okay.
So I moved to D.C. I moved here on December 13th of 2003.
Okay.
And I moved here to not work in theater.
Really?
I really did.
That didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Because 2 years later, you started at Capital Fringe.
It's true.
Okay, what happened? Why didn't you want to work in theater anymore?
I don't know. I just kind of wanted to do something else. I wanted to work at my dream was to work at an art center.
Doing...
Yeah, that was part of the problem with the dream, because what are you doing? So I got a job at Flashpoint. It's downtown. It's an arts incubator. But they also had a theater space there, so then I ended up managing the theater space, and then...
How does that lead to starting Capital Fringe, though?
So then it was, like, right when Gallery Place was just opening. It was before, like, any of that extravaganza was there, and it was really dark at night when I got off work, and people were wearing suits... And I was like,
Not much has changed.
Actually, a lot has changed.
Really?
But it was really, like, I was really depressed because I was like, where have I moved? This is, like, this weird place where there's all these offices, there's all these people in, like, business attires, and everybody really cares about happy hours. And I'm
Once
like,
again,
where are
I
the people?
I don't see how this is different than now.
Well, like, I remember one of the first things I asked my boss when I moved here was, like, I was like, where are the people on bicycles? Because there was very little, like, people riding just normal city stuff. So then it got to be like Philly Fringe time, and then I realized that there was no Fringe Festival here. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that there should be one.
And that was in 2005?
Ish, yeah.
And still going now.
Still going. Well, the first festival was in 2006, but we got incorporated in 2005.
And you're working towards Fringe 2012. It starts in June.
Uh-huh.
Are you done accepting applications and stuff like that?
So actually, today is the last, is the deadline day for find your own venues. You have to like midnight. If you want to find a venue, maybe do a show here. Why not?
I'm booked. I'm
okay, I mean, I'm just saying.
I will not let Art in here. Is everybody okay? Is like physically, is everybody okay? I want to make sure everyone's okay. I'm so concerned about everyone. I feel like I should go and hug everyone.
Does anybody need a drink?
Yeah. She's got a DUI. She'll walk it over.
You can
she
drink
knows the
my
process.
Blood.
Anyways, back to Fringe. How does the process go? Is this an awful time for you, accepting all these plays? Is D.C. a great city for artists? Is it a poor city for artists? What are some of the problems with it? Any of those
we
questions could
get
be answered.
Right down to the negative. No, I'm just, okay.
No, make
this
it positive.
This is actually, I was just saying to someone out there, because we do have a Fringe participant here today. She's right there in the red pants. She's a dance company. Her company is Move IS. Am I right? Yeah, I'm so all right. It's good. Okay. And you are at what venue?
Gala
Hispanic Theater, right here in Columbia Heights.
Okay.
I was just saying that basically from April 1st, to June 18th is like my busiest time of the year. And when I say busy, I mean like let's bring on the 10 to 14 hour days. So it's pretty busy. I'm really excited for this weekend. It's one of my last weekends.
And then for the next 2.5 months, it's all promotion. It's all what do you do?
Basically,
for the next
we're
two and
building
and a half
all the whole marketing campaign for the festival. And we do like all the images and stuff for the festival. Mm-hmm. We actually create them as a company. We don't hire a graphic designer to come in and like interpret what we're trying to communicate. We actually do it ourselves. We also have the festival guide and all of it. It's a lot of information because there's about 140 productions in the festival doing about 700 to 800 individual performances. So it's just a lot of information and hiring people. We hire about a 50-person staff for the festival. Let me see. What were some of the other questions you got?
Well, why do you do this?
Yeah, these are good questions.
Thank you.
Way to go, host.
I know.
You should interview. Have you thought of that?
No. Yeah. No, I'm good.
Okay, so first you asked, is this a good place to do this?
Sure.
Like, what's up with that? I don't know. I actually ask that question a lot because the venues in D.C. are really going away. Like, we basically, what we try to do is help independent artists. We're not trying to, like, help corporate, like, already established groups. So a lot of, like, individual artists, smaller companies, mid-sized companies. But those venues that people would use to do that stuff outside of the festival are going away. I mean, this year alone, we lost Playbill Cafe. We're losing H Street Playhouse. The Warehouse Theater.
Why are you losing them?
Because they're turning over to restaurants, or they're getting torn down to build condos. Like the space, like the physical space, is going away. Yeah. So it's becoming harder and harder to like just kind of do your thing and not like sort of funnel into sort of the regional theater, blah blah blah. So I don't know. Like right now, Fringe itself is doing a planning process where we're kind of trying to figure out if we can get a space that has 5 to 7 stages in it that we call like either like the theater barn or something like that that we rent out to people.
Okay.
That and they're all smaller houses and there's no resident companies and it's basically for people who are doing independent performance.
Okay. I come from the worlds of like zines and like films and music and comedy. None of those get government grants, or at least we're too dumb to apply for any. Do government, like, should the government be funding things like Fringe Festival, things like local theater? Why? I just asked a question. She has a microphone to answer. It's okay.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's so cool.
What was that gasping?
Funding. If funding is tight in this economy,
who's saying that?
Fix the economy. Could you fix the economy for us?
Yeah, I'm gonna get right on that. I'm gonna fix it.
Where do you see the government in terms of the arts, in terms of funding?
Okay. So when we started Fringe, the D.C. Commission on the Arts was giving out $14 million in grants a year.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
But does it need to exist?
Let me finish what I'm saying. Come on. on.
So you have dramatic pauses. I just talk over people.
I'm a theater person.
Different people.
Yeah. So in 2012, the DC Commission gave out $3 million in grants. That's a big fucking difference. That's like that's a just totally different thing. So what does that mean? That means like up until last year or the year before, Capital Fringe was getting about $47,000 from the commission. Now we get about $27,000, which is like half. Mm-hmm. So that significantly affects like what we do. But the issue is that DC is not a state. So it's really like the whole like government funding situation mm-hmm. is really different.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's also DC is not a there's not a lot of corporate headquarters here, so it's not like we're gonna have like lots of corporate funding because there's not headquarters here. I mean, the main thing here is the government. And the government, the federal government isn't like, well, let's see what we can sponsor this year in the arts. Let's try to make DC a little bit
but
more
lively.
But should
the government be sponsoring the arts?
Yes.
I mean, do you think the answer is no?
I'm asking you softball questions so you can go like, oh, I believe
I do.
This.
Yeah, I mean, I totally. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I totally agree that. I mean, there is, but it's different in DC because it's, they don't, like, it's just, it's like, so the city now has a surplus of $240 million and the mayor's deciding to put that into the bank and not actually. I mean, I think the commission funding is like going up like by a like just not even a notable amount, like $3,000 or $4,000 for next year. Woohoo!
And there's like nothing you could do to like change that.
Well,
I'm asking that. Kind of.
I actually, if you pick up the best of, you know, that city paper thing, Capital Fringe actually got the best arts funding argument.
That's great.
Because I went. Yeah,
there you go.
I had to go in front of city council and like sort of talk on behalf of the commission.
It was like Footloose.
It was like Footloose.
There was a lot
of
dancing.
That's all I see when you say that. There's a time. There's a time for dancing, and that time is now. Go ahead.
Any advice for up and coming theater producers? You see a lot more theater than probably anyone else in this city. What should people avoid? What should people gravitate towards? If I'm trying to pitch you something, give me some tips.
Well, I think it depends on what you want. Like if you want to go and have a theater experience, then you know going to like arena or you know sort of a more regional theater type thing is
like I just saw Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
That's a wonderful experience.
And that was a
like,
great experience, you guys.
Yeah. So, but if you're really wanting
to. So, you guys will do stuff like that. I'm just kidding. But I do, when you're done, I do have a personal theater question when you're done because I'm trying out for something soon. So, we could just.
I like to go to shows that are not. That are sort of kind of done off the beaten path because I think it's more interesting to see performers that are kind of a little bit more raw. So, I love to see.
Like this.
Totally like
I'm
this.
Really raw. Me and Eddie Murphy.
So, but raw, if you're really into seeing like super theater type stuff and people dressed in fancy outfits, you know, Arena Stage is really great for you.
Okay.
And Wooly has a lot of really interesting stuff.
Wooly Mammoth for the people not in DC. Well, the people listening around I got a lot of fans in Idaho.
Oh, really? I'm from, well, I actually was online today, and I went to the Actors Repertory Theater of Iowa. No, not Iowa. Idaho. And
Now. I'm back
it
on.
It looked like they really had their stuff together, and I was interested, and I said
they don't have anything else to do, so they were like, you
so
know
that's a good
do?
Tip. If you're in the theater, go to Idaho. Get your chops done in Idaho.
Well,
well
I think
sense.
It's also if you're interested in being in theater and like, or you have a show, look going to USAFF, that's the United States Association of Fringe Festivals, you can actually sort of set up a pretty good tour because there's fringe festivals all over the world and all over the United States. And most of us, the larger ones have sort of timed it so you can actually go from festival to festival to festival.
That's cool.
So,
Jen, you want to answer that question?
So, real quick backstory, age 14 to 16, I worked at the Maryland Renaissance Festival. Thank you. No. I had, it was Boner Central. I still love that place. So this year I...
Hey, that's the band next week, Boner Central.
Boner Central.
Boner Central, the house
Central
band.
Central Time, by the way, not Mountain.
Ooh. CT?
Yeah. So this year I decided I wanted to audition, and I sent them my resume and my headshot, and they invited me. They. It's a consortium of 16th century fans. To audition for A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is my favorite Shakespeare play, I might add.
When is the audition?
When?
Yeah.
April 28th at the Maryland Renaissance Festival grounds, if you've ever been. They're right. I will probably need a ride. Probably need
but
a ride.
But what's the question?
My question is, I have to do a 2-minute monologue, and I've never done theater before, so is there anything you could tell me in terms of, like, you know, like clearly just standing there is not going to work. You know, what should I do? I mean, like, what, you know, facial expressions or, you know.
You need to make sure you know what you're saying. You need to. Yeah, I know it's a tough place to start.
And you've lost me. No, I'm kidding. No, I love Shakespeare. That part I can probably handle.
So she's wrong, man. Just riff.
No, just make sure you know, like, what you're saying, okay, and making it clear that you're actually picturing and believing.
Okay.
What the monologue is about.
Gotcha.
And that you're not just up there like, hey, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to talk about this.
Right, okay. I'm also going to use an accent, so you're welcome.
Well, yeah, should she use an accent?
Are you using an accent?
What is that face? You don't think I can do it?
It's a bad idea.
No, but I mean, what accent are you choosing?
I was going to go with British.
Are you serious?
Because everyone there has
Boston.
Deep South. Be real racist. Real racist.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all.
Are you auditioning?
Where for out there, y'all?
Is the show set in England?
Yeah, it's all set in England. I should have clarified, because obviously nothing else was going on in the 16th century but England. There was some other shit. We didn't care. Yeah, it's in England. It's usually during one of Henry VIII's wives. They just choose which wife he's married to every season. It amuses me to no end. So, yeah.
So know your shit is
so
what you're saying.
Just know what I'm saying so it's believable is what you're saying.
That's good advice.
And don't, when you're doing the monologue, don't look at the people you're auditioning for in the eye.
Oh, that's a good one. Don't
wait,
look.
Why not?
Because you're not talking to them.
Yeah, you're right, because I'm like...
You're not in the scene with them.
I'm in the scene with them. So should
look
I...
Look at them before, like... Hello.
Is it me you're looking
and
for?
And then look at the end.
And then
be
do
like,
Lionel
hello.
Richie. No, wait, but...
Just like that.
Okay. By the way, can I say something about that video? Do you know that he sings that song and it's a blind girl in the video?
Yeah,
so
that's
he's like,
the whole premise
is it
of the...
He's like, is it me you're looking for? I'm like, she's not looking for anything. She's blind.
Wow, you're really tearing apart 30-year-old videos. Good job. You're really socking it to Lionel Richie.
I think the bust at the end.
The bust that's like twice the size of his head. She's an awful sculptor.
She was, for a blind person, she's a pretty bad
sculptor. Julianne, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You were giving me good advice. So I should basically like sort of turn to the side and pretend like I'm speaking to someone, even though it's a monologue. What do you think?
Right.
Okay.
And then critique Lionel Richie videos.
I wasn't allowed to really watch a lot of television growing up, so I understand that you were talking about a music video.
We were. See, same page.
But I have never seen that music video.
Well, you're not missing out.
You're better for it.
Yeah, you are. You're much better for it. Look at this is what seeing Lionel Richie videos. You end up on a stage and you have a band called John Mayer's Fun. Like, that's just what happens. We're going to close this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD, a truly awful book. Julianne, I need you to pick a number between 99 and 208.
208?
They're arbitrary.
207.
Perfect. 207. Oh, yeah, we retire them. Most people play games in their relationships, yet most people claim they don't. What games do you now play, and what games that you used to play have you given up? Keep in mind, this is an awful book, and feel free to lie. It's okay.
In a relationship?
Most people play games in their relationship, yet most people claim they don't. What games do you now play, and what games that you used to play have you given up?
It's a lot.
I
think the best way for me to answer that is I'm not in a relationship.
Kudos.
I just actually, like, I don't know how long now. Like, October-ish time, I got out of a 6-year relationship.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not really playing any games.
Are you single and loving it?
You pretty much.
An independent woman that's an inspiration to us all. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Julianne Brianza. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, put your hands together for Randy Syphax, everybody. Randy!
Thank you. Thank you for sticking out. Hopefully this goes well. If it doesn't, it'll be way worse. My name is Randy Syphax, and thanks. It's going great so far. It's Randy Syphax, and Syphax is a unique last name. So I was able to go, Syphax, what is that? You know, and it's spelled S-Y-P-H-A-X. And normally, when I enter a room, you know, people are like, oh, it's okay, Randy Syphax, gotcha. But since I'm doing comedy in certain rooms, my name's been changed from Randy Syphax to Randy Dell. You have a host come up. Our next comic is a good dude. I want y'all to give it up for my main man, Randy. The hell is this dude's name? Where's Randy at, man? Come do your thing, man. Appreciate you guys laughing about that. I'm usually nervous. Not enough white people will see black people laughing, and then we're in a tough spot. But I played basketball throughout high school and college. I watched basketball mostly throughout high school and college, but I was usually always one of the few white guys on a team. My friends used to always mess with me. They used to be like, hey, yo, Rand, come over here, man. I knew something was up. But hey, man, you know who you look like? You know that dude, Benny from the Sandlot? Don't he look like him? Like, hey, Rand, you know who else you look like? That dude, Yeah, from the Sandlot. That's Yeah's ass right there. Matter of fact, Rand, we think you look like every dude but the black kid from the Sandlot. There was always a co-signer like, hey, yo, that's true. You do be looking like them dudes, dog. Every dude, I'm going to say like every dude, fam. I'm sorry, man. Nah, you're right. I overheard these group of black guys actually after my last show, and it was good stuff, you know. It could have been bad stuff, but it was good that it was good stuff this time. And one of the guys was like, I like that one comic. You know what I mean? He kind of looked like that dude Mowgli from the Jungle Book. You know what I mean? Real skinny, right? You know? He's like, oh, yeah, I know you talk about. You talk about that Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid looking motherfucker. The fucking Danielson looking motherfucker. The fucking My Cousin Vinny ass looking motherfucker. Fucking Karate Kid Part 2 looking ass motherfucker. So that sound like Richard Pryor getting on me like, you know, the fucking Jeff Goldblum looking motherfucker. Up there looking like the flying shit. You know, the white looking motherfucker that was up there talking like a black motherfucker. Shit, his best joke was him thinking he could say black motherfucker twice and walk his white ass up out of here alive and shit, huh? We will stomp his Mowgli ass looking out, motherfucker. See how funny that Mowgli shit is now. It's about right then when I stepped in. I was like, hey, guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. They're like, nah, man, nah, you cool. You stupid as hell, though. Which is the best compliment you can get from a black guy, actually, is stupid as hell. Trust me. That's all we're going to have to do on that one is just trust me. They're like, hey, man, do that Dave Chappelle shit again. So I went into it. I was like, DC's different. I'm telling you, man, DC has changed. There's a lot of white people walking around, isn't there? And usually when I do Dave Chappelle jokes, they don't sound anything like Dave Chappelle jokes. They sound more like Young Jeezy lyrics. I'm just up there like, big wheels and big straps. And boy, I like it supersized. My passenger is a red bone. Her weave look like some curly fries. Which would be great if I had a red bone. It would be great. I don't know. You guys like the NBA here? This seems like an NBA bar, if you ask me. Yeah, thank you. All right. Oh, darling, I'm hot today. Yeah, no, I like the NBA a lot. I love the NBA. And I don't know, I thought it would be funny if Jurassic Park 4 was just footage of Chris Bosh getting in and out of a Range Rover. You guys know what I'm saying? If you don't know who Chris Bosh is, just picture a velociraptor. If like a velociraptor came out of the egg and John Hammond held him and was like, oh shit, this is a velociraptor. And then had a knee brace on. You'd have my man from the Miami Heat. They're going to get Marv Albert, who does the NCAA March Madness right now. Is it March Monotony? No, it's March Madness. But they get Marv Albert to splice the trailer in before he didn't bite the girl. You know, it'd be like, LeBron James with the pirouette and the foul. Words exchanged, tempers flared. Dang and James have to be separated. We'll let Dick Bavetta sort it out. But in the meantime, be sure to check out the next installment in the Jurassic Park franchise. Jurassic Park 4, starring Chris Bosh. We're all very excited. We've been told the animatronics for the Velociraptor have been substituted for Chris Bosh's post moves. We look forward to the finished product. Now, the word on the street was LeBron James was supposed to be in the fourth. But as we all know, in a fitting manner, he had trouble showing up. Thank you. Yeah, it's trending on Twitter. For more on that, now we go live into the studio with the always enthusiastic and always colorful Stephen A. Smith.
Well, first and foremost, Marv, let me just start by saying I'm not going to take offense to that nice little jab about me being colorful because, quite frankly, I'm very excited. And as a matter of fact, I'm here to talk about one person and one person only. Now, LeBron James, the kid just doesn't get it. What he did last year in Dallas was inexcusable. It was inconsequential. It was incomprehensible.
Just a lot of N words, and then, you know. Oh, I N, not the N. Jesus Christ, where are we? But usually then I just keep on going with Stephen A. I ramble, and that's why people don't like impressions, so I got to get better jokes there. But now, you guys know Chris Broussard? You guys watch ESPN? I really hope you do, because this isn't going to be funny. Yeah, the theater person doesn't watch ESPN. Gotcha. You haven't missed anything, trust me. You're getting all caught up right here. But now Chris Broussard come in. Well, actually, I had spoken to LeBron, who told me, you know, he had been using the Propecia and the Rogaine to try and get that headband taken care of, because we all have seen him putting that headband. I be wondering what LeBron does sometimes. He be in the mirror. I think he's got some, like, Velcro right around the temple, because I've been through it myself. You can tell by my shape up that it doesn't quite look right, but I don't know what he's got in plan, but hopefully he can get it going. We're going to send it over to Charles Barkley. Hopefully he doesn't sound like a broken record and get caught up on one of them words. Chuck, what you think about this?
I'll tell you what.
That's not a good start, Chuck. Give it another shot.
You're right. Gilbert Arenas and LeBron James. Now, when they was playing, Gilbert Arenas.
That's all she wrote. Thanks a lot, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Randy Syphax, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
You're funny. How old are you?
27.
Good.
Thanks.
Good.
The right age.
I thought you were younger. I'm sorry.
I thought the same thing. I was ready to be depressed.
I was like,
fuck you for being talented.
Thanks, yeah.
But now you're 27. I don't feel that way.
Yeah, not
I almost
all,
texted
actually.
You to see if you could, like, legally come in the bar. I'm not joking.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I wish I was. I wish I could tell everyone I was, like, 19.
You look 19.
You can. They do that in Hollywood.
I started like, yo, you got to see this kid. But 27, I'm like, ah, I've seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really fun. So the impressions thing, like, how do you do that?
That's a tough question to answer.
Do it in, like, 10 seconds.
Do one
and make it like really funny too.
Do another impression?
No. Just like explain your entire process.
I don't know. I just always have done voices growing up. I impersonated my stepdad all the time. You know, you think you're pretty funny, you know, and that was pretty much a start. Yeah.
Would you be a comic if you didn't have a stepdad?
Probably not, actually.
So it's for the best.
Actually, you would. It's usually no dad that makes you have a.
Hey, that's why I like you, Jen.
Daddy issues is
What's
usually
that?
Lack of daddy issues.
Or yeah, depends on how you look at it.
Have you gotten in a physical fight due to your impressions?
Not yet, but I'm always terrified.
I'm hoping it's going to happen. I hope you win.
Yeah. Well, I won't. Trust me.
I don't know.
I'll always back down.
Who doesn't like you? I can't imagine anybody in comedy not liking you.
Well, if I get an all-white crowd who's pretty uncomfortable with things, they'll usually tense up. Like they're good white people or something. You know, like, get the hell out of my face.
Where are you from?
Silver Spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of white people then?
Not necessarily a lot
They've
of white people.
They've got a couple in Silver Spring. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go to Wheaton Plaza, you'll see not white people.
Why are we talking about local landmarks?
Because,
I'm sorry, crowd, both in your ears and in the bar. I am extremely intimidated by you, and I hope to befriend you, so once you get big, you give me a job.
Thanks, and same, likewise.
Okay, so I've done this with Brandon Wardell now. This is a podcast tradition where I make you promise me that if you get a TV show and vice versa, we have to hire each other.
Without question.
All right, it's a podcast tradition. We have locked the gates, and now it's official.
Nice job, yeah.
That's it. What, Jen?
You didn't do that for me.
I actually know you. I consider you like a friend. I've seen this guy like twice.
Okay.
That's the big difference.
You guys heard it here. I was not asked to do any sort of...
No.
No, it's fine.
Why would I? I know you. You're a friend.
When I'm the only one that makes it, everyone in this bar won't even remember me. But
no, but I'm going to be the...
I'm just kidding.
I'm not kidding. Let's talk about this in depth. Randy, do you think what I did with you was offensive to Jen?
I mean, I know where she's coming from, but no, I also don't think that it's offensive also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like a double...
Because no offense, I don't consider you a friend.
Oh, well, thanks
This
a lot.
Is, I think, the third time we've seen each other.
I was telling them, though, this is a guy I'd like to be friends with.
I agree with you completely. I am so glad, no offense, other comics that have done the show, that you actually watch sports.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Oh, it's
you made me want to watch basketball now.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I was like, these guys are hilarious, but they're probably not really like that.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
They are actually quite hilarious.
He nailed it.
You should see Stephen A. get going.
You're not a hockey fan, though.
Nah, not yet.
Damn it. I want you to do a Pierre impression, the one guy in hockey everyone hates.
Shit.
Yeah. Sorry. What about football? You a football fan?
Yeah, love football.
All right, good. What about baseball?
Not as much.
Damn it!
Yeah.
All right. Do you know anybody
PGA, though. I'm all over
Seriously?
That.
Oh. So PGA.
We got the Masters around the corner, man. Yeah, I got you.
All right. Time to end this interview.
Yeah.
I need you to pick a number between 99 and 206.
Go with 99.
Good call. Did you hear that Dennis Rodman is, like, broke now?
I did. That's upsetting.
Or exactly what you thought would have happened 5 years ago?
Yeah, but damn it, I like Dennis. I was holding out for him.
I was, like, totally on his side until, like, 6 months ago when the lockout was happening.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to have a stripper league. Did you hear about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, it's hard to feel bad for that guy. Anyways, Randy, number 99. 5 years from now, in what ways do you think your relationship will have improved or deteriorated?
Well, it's great because my girlfriend's right there. We'll probably have broken up like 3 or 4 times.
She's nodding her head yes.
Yeah. And improved, you said how will it improve?
How will it have improved or deteriorated? Why did you initially go with deteriorated?
I think it'll deteriorate in the sense that I got to put more effort into comedy. But, I mean, hopefully it improves with success and, you know, the whole 9 yards. I don't know. It could be. It really is that wishy-washy. We break up almost every other week, so we'll see how it goes. Yeah,
Randy, where can people find you?
Where can they find me?
Where can they find you? Twitter?
Oh, yeah, definitely Twitter. I don't say anything funny.
Your handle?
But please, yeah.
Oh, my God. You haven't plugged anything before. Your handle is?
Randy Syfax, but you'll be disappointed, so there's
oh
no
Oh, my God!
And my, I don't know, Facebook friends.
Do you have any shows coming up that you want to promote?
I wish I did.
Oh, actually, my God!
No, yeah. I don't. I wish I did, though.
I am, you better... just keep going, man. You're fucking great.
Hey,
thank you so much for
this. I really appreciate it.
Randy Syfax, everybody. Hey, Jen, are you a movie fan?
I'm a huge movie fan.
Well, I am too. I'm a buff of sorts.
Okay.
And we have some listeners that are film fans. And we'll occasionally get listener like Facebook messages or emails. But I got a Facebook... a letter, actually. Somebody from Facebook asked for my address, and they said, why? They said, I want to send you a letter. So I said, okay. So this guy sent me a letter. He said he wanted to come on the show. So ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Peter Frischelli, the internet film critic. His YouTube channel is called Nuts About Flicks. Peter, come on to the stage. Peter, how are you?
You know what, Brandon? I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Peter, you wrote me a letter.
Snail mail, yeah, it doesn't go out of fashion. So anyway, how's it going, Brendan? How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to see you for the first time.
I'm thinking I could talk to your audience a little bit about some movies.
Sounds great. I'm a big movie fan.
Well, I am nuts about movies, so if you want to check me out on my YouTube channel, Nuts About Flicks, you can put it into your search engine and find it. So anyway, let's start with
Let's do this.
Some recommendations for some
new recommendations.
We're
for
doing
the
some recommendations for some movies.
Some movies in the theaters today.
Let's get loose, okay? Let's get loose, okay? First movie. Talk about great movies. Have you guys seen Austin Powers? Yeah, baby.
That was your review?
That was my review.
Okay, that's your first review.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn whether or not we see Gone with the Wind. It's not that good of a movie. Thank you. The other day, I took my wife to see the movie Borat. It was very nice. I have a feeling that we're not in Kansas anymore. We're at a movie theater seeing The Wizard of Oz. Thank you. Hey,
well, really quick, Peter, yeah. About that last review.
Yeah, yes.
Did you like The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, well, couldn't you tell from my review? I loved it.
Oh, good.
We're in a movie theater seeing The Wizard of Oz. Hey, Robert De Niro, are you talking to me or are you talking to everyone in the audience in The Taxi Man?
It's called the Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, thank you. You can't handle the truth, but you can handle a few good men. Thank you. Mama always said, if you're looking for a good time at the movies, make it Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run to the theaters.
You got any more of these, buddy?
Yeah, I got a lot.
All right, give up.
You had me at hello. Can I get a ticket to Jerry Maguire? Huh? How about that? How about that? These videos, we have hundreds of hits, literally hundreds. I've seen hundreds of movies. This is very popular on the internet. Phone home to say you're not going to be home for a little while because you're seeing the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial. It may be nearly 3 hours long, but seeing The Godfather is certainly an offer that you cannot refuse. Thank you. Remember, keep your friends close and your enemies closer by buying them tickets to see The Godfather Part 2, actually. It's the second installment in the Godfather trilogy. You might want to check it out. That's a film tip. May the Force be with you and your whole family when you see Star Wars. It's fun for all ages. Maybe not all ages, maybe like 10 and up. It's a good movie if you want to check it out. Houston, we have a problem. Apollo 13 isn't out on Blu-ray DVD combo pack yet.
Peter, before yes. you go any further, okay. I want to first of all say I am enjoying your reviews.
I think they get to the point.
They do get to the point.
Of what all of the movies are about.
But most of the people, I think, know about these films already. Do you have any of the reviews about maybe more current films?
We have nothing to fear but fear itself, or seeing the new Franklin Delano Roosevelt biopic.
Peter, that's not a film.
Oh, it's. I thought that
doesn't exist.
I thought it was.
Did you watch the Academy Awards? They were on a few weeks ago.
Oh, I did. I'm a film nut. I'm nuts about films.
What do you think about The Artist? It's a famous silent film. It won Best Picture at this year's Academy Awards. People are talking about it. Do you have any opinions on The Artist? The Artist. I'm talking about The Artist, the film that just won Best Picture. You've seen so many great films. I want to hear your thoughts on The Artist.
Oh, man, you're fucking killing me, man. There are no words in that movie. Do you get this fucking bit? I'm just saying quotes from the fucking movie.
Yeah, but you
give me a silent film. What am I supposed to fucking
you
do?
You fucking wrote... I mean, you're talking about The Godfather, for
Why are you
sakes.
Asking about The Artist? It doesn't have any words.
They got like, subtitles and the title cards. Okay. You can read the words on the screen. Just say one of those things.
There are no...
Do you even see the film? You haven't even... You're doing a film bit. You haven't even seen the most recent Best Picture.
No, I haven't.
Peter Frischelli could be found on YouTube under Nuts About Flicks. It's a great channel. He does a new video for each single film. So there's about 400 individual videos that you can see. They're about 15 seconds a pop, and I highly recommend all of them.
I have actually about like 30 videos.
Why did you fucking? Why did you do that, man? I thought we'd like cross that bridge.
I don't know, man. I thought this would go a lot better. So
it's fine.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. See you.
Okay, bye.
Peter Frischelli, everybody.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Patrick Hawkins from Betty!
So I'm stacking myself up against the rest of the performers tonight. I'm feeling a distinct lack of irony. There's no irony in my set. None. So this is my first unironic song. This one's called Mona Lee.
Never complete, but
This is called One Whiskey Neat. It's one cold sweat after another, one bad choice to the next. There's a test I'm taking, I know I will pass. That's why I keep messing it up. If there's one good thing to come of it, a lesson to walk away with, I'd rather have you to be honest. Tonight you're too much to resist. And when the morning comes, you're in my bed, I wanna tell you all the things I feel, but I play the coward instead. And I ask you to come back tonight. One sad soul to another, one whiskey knee to the next. Your shoulders touching mine lightly, and tonight there'll be no regrets. And the curtains, baby, are calling, the show is about to begin. I'm drunk in the crowd, I'm calling you out. Can't believe the state I'm in. And when the morning comes, you're in my bed, I wanna tell you, oh, I love you, but I play the coward instead. And I ask you to come back tonight. Baby, won't you come back here tonight? I don't do a lot of covers, but this one's a cover. It's called Freight Train Blues.
I was born Dixie in a boom or shack, just a little shanty by the railroad track. The freight train was so I had to cry, hoping the drivers went up by. I got the freight train blues. Oh Lord, Ma got him in the bottom of the rambling sheep. When the woods blows, I got to go. Babe, don't you know that looks like never gonna lose a freight train blue. Well, Pa's a fireman, home out here, was a little daughter of an engineer. Sweet little Miss Breck, and her name no joke. Shame the way she gets a good man broke. I got the freight train blue. Oh Lord, Mama, got her in the Bible and rambling sheep. When the whistle blows, I gotta go. Babe, don't you know? Well, that looks like I'm never gonna lose a freight train blue. Well, oh, the only thing we left again is a southbound whistle and southbound train. Everywhere that I wanna go, never can go, cause you know, I got the freight train blue. Oh Lord, Mama, got him in the bottom of the rambling sheep. blows, I get to go. Babe, don't you know? Well, it looks I'm never gonna lose a freight train.
All right, this is a new one. I just wrote this one. It's called, I don't know what it's called, actually. It doesn't even have a name. We'll call it Bethlehem. How about that?
Lift me up. Take me down to the sound of the driving rain. It's enough. It's enough, child, to be good. To be good if you can. You were formed from the side of me. We were born to accompany. We got lost in life, my love, amidst the sound. Though we fell from eternal grace, I won't wait, not another day. We got lost in life, my love, now I found you. The half of the way.
Thank you very much.
Patrick Hawkins, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night, everybody.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.